This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to Place to Be Nation WrestleMania Weekend Wrap-Up Show. That's right, we've had our WrestleMania Rewind, and we'll never have the deal to do that meet again, thanks to the WWE Network and the very litigious Jerry McDevitt. We've had our reaction shows, we've had the Place to Be podcast, we've had the network show with Will and our friends from PWO that joined, that got together right after the show, and this is the official podcast that put a wrap on Mania Weekend. My name is Brad Woodling, the managing editor of Place to Be Nation, and while I travel to the New England area up to Rhode Island to meet with the quote-unquote authority of Place to Be Nation, our friends Justin and Scott, and along with Roger, Dan, Andy, and Dr. G, at the official restaurant of Place to Be Nation, Boneheads, of course, in West Warwick, Rhode Island, the real stars were a very large contingent from Place to Be Nation that made their way down to New Orleans. We had 9 in all, maybe 10 actually, and 11 if we count Kevin Kelly. I'll get to all those names. Let me introduce 3 of them that I have on the line with me tonight. First, he is Scott Criscolo's Bengal of the Bayou, but he and I are just friends. It's Mr. Andrew Reich is here. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing great. A little tired, but I didn't travel much, so I have no excuses compared to the next
year. It was a home game for you, something we all dream of. And I've been waiting for it with Philadelphia every time they throw the rumors that I'm going to have a big party. Next up, I have one half of the hard-traveling fanboys. He co-hosts the Comics Roundtable with a number of our good friends and, of course, has done some great pieces for Place to Be Nation. Mr. Greg Phillips on the line tonight. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing good, Brad. Still recovering from the weekend that was.
That's a big theme. That's going to be a theme throughout here. But that's good, though. That means you have good stories to tell, and we're looking forward to them. And finally, we have the Ed McMahon of the Brad and Chad Show, and of course on Place to Be Nation's main event, as Mr. Reich is as well, and a frequent contributor, of course, to Place to Be Nation with his Total Divas watching Total Divas and the 5 Count. I just want to make it officially known that I do not need to drop his employer to get him over. It's Ben Morse, and he's on with us tonight. Ben, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. I won't break the streak. I'm sure we'll talk about breaking the streak later, but I won't break the streak by saying, yes, I'm also exhausted. Came back from New Orleans on Monday, went right back to work. I will say, Brad, the one thing I'm a little bummed out about is when we first talked about doing this show, it was going to be an episode of the Brad and Chad Show, which, as you know, I am the biggest supporter of the Brad and Chad Show out there. I like dreamed of it coming back.
One time you were on more shows than I was.
It's true.
But
this is fun too.
We're gonna make it a PTB show because Chad, along with Jerry McDevitt, is very litigious. He could not be here, the original plan, and we can't do the B&C without the C. So well, we can actually. It was gonna be the Ben and Brad, but
yeah.
It's like Community. It's the show that everyone's afraid to cancel.
That's true. And since I control it.
Excited to be here. My new buddy Andrew. Well, not my new buddy. We talked on Main Event all the time, but I got to meet Andrew this weekend, and I'm really excited to be on a podcast with Greg for the first time.
Oh, that's nice of you, Ben. Ben actually helped me out on a college paper about 10 years ago.
What?
True story. I sent an email to him when he was writing for a website that shan't be named at the moment. And he gave me some quotes for a comic book research paper I was doing.
Look at the synergy of Place to Be Nation. I love this. I'm going to add this to our accomplishment list.
You've told me that story before, right?
I think so. Yeah, when I first joined the site, I think I told you the story.
It's cool.
About the life and work of Charles Chuck Austin.
Unfortunately, it wasn't a Chuck Austin piece. It was a generic it was one of those, like, The Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen are very important, and here's why paper. It was very easy. Okay, very easy to write.
That's right. Man, I can't believe I was – that makes me feel old.
So, Greg,
you've only got a couple years on me, I think.
Yeah.
That's a pretty funny story. I didn't know that one either. Now, Greg, you traveled in. Of course, you're from Alabama, so, you know, not too far of a drive, but, you know, still relatively. And you weren't alone. So when I talked about all those PTBN guys down there, let me name them off. So with you, you had our good friends Nick Duke and Russell Sellers.
That's right.
Of course, I mentioned Chad Campbell was at the show also. Mark Clare, who I had the privilege of meeting and hanging out with in Pittsburgh for the Royal Rumble. Ryan Everett was there. He writes our main event. And he was actually there for his bachelor party. He took the train from Chicago with his buddies down to New Orleans for that. So that's a pretty cool story that's going to be on the website pretty soon, too. Matt McCullough, who's a longtime member of the Nation who has done some pay-per-view recaps for us and has been a message board guy for quite some time, he was there from Australia. So he had a lot of great pictures. And then also we had Graham Cawthon was there, Grant Owens, we all know Grant, and then also Kevin Kelly, he technically counts as staff, and he was there for the Ring of Honor shows. So in total, that's like 12 guys from the Nation that made the trip there. So very cool. So Greg, real quick, and we'll get to Ben's story for traveling. So tell me a little bit about your logistics and you guys traveling in for the weekend.
Well, the three of us PTB comic book writers, we were in the car along with our buddy Andrew Garner, and we pretty much piled into Nick's wife's car and headed out to New Orleans. We left out of here on Thursday night because Nick said he would be more comfortable driving at night, and had a long, what felt like longer than it was, 5.5 hour drive into the New Orleans area. Stayed at a cheap Motel 6. And then Friday morning got up and drove into New Orleans proper and stayed at the Hotel from Hell, which you'll read about on the Place to Be Nation website soon enough. But it was mainly just cramming into a car and hitting the road and enjoying several playlists on the way.
Sure. So that segues into our first piece here. So you got to experience some non-WWE wrestling. Tell us first about Dragon Gate USA and kind of who you got to catch there. Was it the Friday show that you went to, the one that had Loki and those other guys?
Yeah, it was the Friday show. When we were setting this up, we wanted to maximize this was me and Nick's fourth WrestleMania wow. We've been to, and every weekend we have to fit in Dragon Gate because we've been there for WrestleMania 27, WrestleMania 28, and it's, you know, two phenomenal shows, so we had to fit it in this time. And we also want to do the Hall of Fame on Saturday, so that because of the way that Dragon Gate schedules their shows, we had to do the Friday night show because the Saturday night show went directly up against Hall of Fame.
Right.
And this one was, they had a visa issue apparently. Usually they bring in Japanese talent every year and load the card with Japanese talent like Sima and guys like that, Naruki Doi. But this year they had some visa issues, so the only Japanese talent they managed to grab was Masato Tanaka. But I'll say this, they delivered a phenomenal card. Nick actually lost our tickets on Friday, and we were freaking out, and we tweeted Gabe Sapolsky, and to his undying credit, he actually hooked us up when we got to the arena and showed our email confirmation for our receipts, and he hooked us up with new tickets, and they put on a hell of a show. What I thought was going to be the match of the night, Nick, it was his favorite match of the night, was Chris Hero versus Masato Tanaka. They had just a phenomenal match, top to bottom. Loki and Trent Beretta had a match that I was a little disappointed by. It just never really got out of second gear. But then the main event was, to me, I can't figure out which match was my favorite of the weekend. One of the top contenders would have to be Ricochet versus Johnny Gargano for the Freedom Gate title, which is kind of like Dragon Gate's top, basically their version of the world title. And it was it was one of the best live matches I've ever seen. It was tremendous. Wow. Yeah, Ricochet, if you've never seen him, you got to see this guy in person. He's a tremendous athlete, lots of charisma, and it's been a long time coming for him. Gargano had held the Dragon Gate title for like 2.5 years, really long title reign, and he's a great wrestler too. And so it was really this culmination of this long Gargano title reign coming to an end. He played a great heel during the match, and they really delivered big time.
And now, was Bat Influence on your show on Friday?
No, they were. That was the biggest regret that I
that
had.
That was the Saturday.
They were the Saturday night show, and it was just for the live crowd,
right.
So people that ordered the pay-per-view or the DVD couldn't see it. So that was unfortunate. But we did get the controversial DGUSA debut of Teddy Hart with a cat for some reason. And
how's Teddy looking nowadays?
You know, he looked jacked, man. He looked bigger than I think I've ever seen him. He showed up and he had like a cat with him for some reason. And maybe that's his new indie gimmick or something. But he came out, put the cat on the top turnbuckle, got in the ring, did a bunch of moves, and then left. And it was a huge pop because it was totally unexpected. Like none of us expected him to be there. And so that was kind of cool. And he didn't do anything too controversial at our show anyway. So that was cool, and yeah, all the talent was great. I actually got to I ran into Chris Hero after the show,
nice,
as he was walking out of the arena, and managed to thank him for the match. It's pretty funny because I thanked him for the match, and he turned to my buddies Russell and Garner, and he was like, "Well, you guys didn't think it was great too," and
nice.
And they kind of were like, "Oh no." But yeah, he was spectacular. Him and Tanaka put on a very like mid-90s All Japan match. It actually kind of reminded me of Tanaka and Awesome. Because the way they had the ring set up was like they were on a stage. There's a huge drop off to the floor, and they teased several of those awesome bombs over the top rope or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Never actually did one, but it was a great match. But Ricochet and Gargano stole the show for me.
Wow, nice, very cool. And now I also know that you guys checked out and help me with the pronunciation here.
Is it Kaiju Big Battle.
Kaiju Big Battle, and I did my homework because I am the DDP of Place to Be Nation and have to plan these things out. And Chad told me that this is robots fighting that is really cool when you're trippy drunk. So tell me a little bit about the robot battling.
Well, basically, it's close. Saying that it's robots battling is very close. It's actually kaiju are like Japanese monsters like Godzilla or Mothra.
He totally sold it short. Go ahead.
Or what have you. And basically, this is a promotion somewhere out of the Northeast, I think out of Boston area, where they basically – it's completely over the top. It's basically like Chikara taken to the extreme, like if you can imagine that. It's a bunch of guys in rubber monster costumes, and the idea of Kaiju Big Battle is that these are giant monsters, and then there's the kaiju, and then there are the heroes of kaiju, and the heroes battle the monsters. And in the ring, they will have these like cardboard or foam buildings that are designed to look like real buildings. So basically, you're watching everything in the ring is like sized proportionally in your mind. So you got these giant monsters that do moonsaults and all these weird moves to each other, and they all have over the top, outlandish personalities. The whole time, there's this ring announcer called Loud and Noxious, who runs around ringside and runs in through the crowd, and he commentates everything as it happens, so he explains the story as it's going on. And it is one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life, but it's also one of the funniest. They open the show with like this giant multi-tentacled monster walking to the ring, and it takes him forever to actually get into the ring because of the size of the costume, and he gets in there and the announcer explains to us that this is Gambling Bug. And he explains to the audience that we're supposed to hate Gambling Bug because he's an evil gambler. He risks his hard-earned money on games and other contests, and it's bad to gamble, and we should boo him. And then the hero comes out, and I can't remember what the hero's name was in that match, but he comes out, and we're supposed to cheer him because he doesn't believe in gambling. And it was absolutely phenomenal. There were these two brothers called the Plantain Brothers, who were guys dressed up like giant plantains, Paco and Pedro Plantain, and they dance together and they have giant mustaches, and it's great. Great fun for the whole family, except
nothing.
For the line of cocaine that one kaiju snorted off the other kaiju might have been a bit much for the whole family, come to think of it.
Nothing I did this weekend seems like it was fun anymore.
I know. I mean, geez, maybe I should have saved that for the end, Greg.
Yeah, it was really surreal. Like, they had the Marty Brawl, and as part of the Marty Brawl, there was this space – he was known as a – they said that he was like a space monster that had lived inside the moon for years, and he escaped. And he came to the ring, and he was already like tipsy because he was enjoying the Mardi Gras lifestyle. He had not been familiar with it before.
Naturally.
And
anyone would do that if you came into the planet likewise. Go ahead.
Absolutely. He knocked down his opponent, and he pulls out this bag of like 1990s like Mr. Fuji salt or whatever, and he pours it over the guy. And they said the announcer explains that it's the dreaded Marty Brawl party powder, and then he snorts lines of it off of his opponent's back.
Oh my God! I feel like I wasted 5 days. I should have been doing this the entire time.
I mean, like, is this on
YouTube? Sounds amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on YouTube, but they're actually on the same WWN on demand network that Dragon Gate is. And so, I mean, and they should have clips on YouTube as well.
The creator, was interviewed years ago by Current TV, Al Gore's old channel. So they have a little segment there about who made it and why they did it. And it's interesting. The guy who created it, you wouldn't think he's a wrestling fan. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. He like gave us all free gumballs and stuff randomly. Because one of the monsters couldn't differentiate between gumbo and gumballs. And so anyway, it's a long story, but it was just a great night. And the main event was a legal proceeding in which one of the evil characters, Gambling Bug, who I mentioned earlier, was trying to kidnapped one of the Plantain brothers and because he felt the other Plantain robbed him of his 5,000 yen in their body slam challenge. And so this guy named Dr. Cube, who was basically a guy in a judge's robe with a cube for a head, came out and like ruled over the proceedings. It was great.
I think Jordan Duncan just found a new love.
I mean, I can't even get over the main event thing. I'm kind of speechless here with that. Any other questions for Greg on this? How did Nick and Russell enjoy this? Was this new for them? Or?
Oh, Nick, from the moment – we were already delirious because we were so tired. We got barely any sleep Thursday night. And so from the moment we saw the first kaiju, Nick was laughing like a little girl. He was just giggling like a hyena the whole time. Russell had this stunned look on his face the whole time, just like jaw agape, leaning forward on the chair, just not really sure what to make of it. And I was somewhere in between because I was stunned. And then as the night went on, I just laughed harder and harder and harder. It was like the first time you've seen the funniest movie you've ever seen. It was pretty much like that. It was just like tears in my eyes. And Nick was hysterical, and Russell was laughing his ass off by the end as well.
That's fantastic. Any other pre WWE wrestling stories from you guys through the weekend?
Gosh, no. I mean, other than the hero encounter, I didn't really have any cool wrestler encounter. Low key was a few feet away from me, but he was talking to somebody. Oh, I sat two rows behind, like in between the Dragon Gate and Kaiju shows. There was like a big dead period, and like everybody else left, and it was just us there. And Masato Tanaka was randomly sitting like two rows in front of us, but I like a coward, I didn't say anything to him. But
he was there for the Kaiju show too.
Probably so. Yeah, I think a lot of the wrestlers – Teddy Hart actually came out on stage during the Kaiju show to get one of the monsters to throw beads at him during the Marty Brawl, if you can imagine. And it was such a cool night because we got like a great mix of like great Japanese style wrestling and great indie wrestling, and then the craziest thing we've ever seen. So it was like it was a wonderful, wonderful night.
Wow. I have one question off topic, Greg. Do they know the identities of the wrestlers, or do anyone even know if they're Americans, Japanese wrestlers, Mexican wrestlers?
I have no idea. Like I have a theory that a lot of them are Dragon Gate guys.
That's what I was thinking.
But that's, you know, I have no way of proving that because they were all in monster costumes, obviously. The referee from Dragon Gate refereed the kaiju matches. I don't know if that is any connection at all, but I had the distinct idea that they were DGUSA guys just having a good time.
It would be great.
Well, everybody at the Tulane Arena are in the same coalition, right?
Yes. They're all part of that WWN, thing. So
go ahead,
it'd be
Ben.
It'd be great if it was the WWE guys just warming up.
Oh my God!
Like the WrestleMania roster is the guys
on the card like JTG or something.
Yeah, that would
have been cool.
I mean, that's the only thing JTG would have done all weekend. He's the only guy that couldn't get in the Battle Royal.
Oh, poor guy.
But so hard to top. But you guys were plenty
impossible
busy. But there
to
was
top.
there was nobody busier WrestleMania week than Ben. So Ben. Go ahead and share your story about traveling down, and then of course you got to, you worked Access hard for 3 days, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously my WrestleMania experience was a little different because I was going as a fan, obviously, but mm-hmm. technically I was going for work. Marvel Studios financed to send me and three other guys from Marvel down. I flew in from New Jersey on Thursday morning, very early. And yeah, it was basically, you know, our movie, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, in theaters now, came out last weekend. And we were there to shoot interviews, shoot photos, shoot anything we could. We have a good working relationship with WWE. Mm-hmm. So they hooked us up with, you know, getting us into Access, getting us into the Hall of Fame, getting us some of the red carpet events so that we could promote our movie, promote Marvel. There's a lot of crossover audience, as Greg can obviously attest to. A lot of people love wrestling who love comics. So, yeah, we hit the ground running. We got to our hotel Thursday. We rented a car, and we were basically back and forth between Access and the hotel for the next 4 days, actually, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So when did you almost get on Total Divas where you had to sign a
That was the first night. What happened on Thursday was we basically just went and checked in at Access just to get our press credentials and met with, you know, the WWE PR guys are all – the nice thing is that particularly Al Stavola and Joe Vila, who work there, are huge comics fans. So they help us out. We help them out. And they're actually great guys. We love hanging out with them. But they got us our credentials, and then we went over to the Andrew, I don't know if you're going to know what this is. Like, maybe you can help me out here. We went about 20 minutes to some sort of art museum.
The New Orleans Art Museum. That's about 3 blocks to west of where you were at, or the convention center was at. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we went to the New Orleans Art Museum, and they were doing a charity event. It was run by Drew Brees, Superstars for Kids. They were doing an art auction, but for us, there was a little mini red carpet outside that we could basically us and all the other news outlets could set up on, do some interviews, take some photos. It was extremely cramped. There was about 30 news outlets, probably about space for 10. So it was the type of thing where we were just trying to basically poke our hands in and get what we could. And the thing we had this weekend was we brought with us some Hasbro props, toys. We had a couple Captain America shields. We had a couple things from Guardians of the Galaxy. We had some masks. So when we got to the Superstars for Kids thing, I was like, all right, these guys are moving fast. They're moving furious. There's barely any room. We're probably not going to be able to get any video. So my goal is just to try to hand this toy Captain America shield to as many people as possible and get a picture with it so we can do a gallery later, which is what I did. But in the midst of this, some of the guys from Total Divas, they were shooting because all the Total Divas cast was there, so they were shooting footage, and they came up to us and, you know, asked us to sign a release if we want to appear on Total Divas. So maybe in the future you'll see the back of my head as I'm talking to Natalia.
Are we going to leave this as a clip?
And then to be really meta, you'll then review the back of your head.
I will then review the back of my
totally
head.
Totally meta. I love it. Yeah. That's great.
Exactly.
It's like Synecdoche, New York, only good.
It's a picture within a picture within a picture.
That would be so awesome. I hope that happens. And I'll tell
you,
because I was when they were doing those red carpet things, I was looking around for you because on the Daniel Bryan Road to WrestleMania special, they actually did a lot of Access when he was on press row and stuff.
Oh,
and
cool.
I kept looking to see like if
can I tell a story about that off topic, or do you want to wait till later?
Let's wait till a little later. We'll definitely get to his.
I got a story about that special that I saw.
Yeah.
Cool.
But no, yeah, like you know, everyone was there. I got the only person I got to talk to. I got to talk to Natalia for a little while, and she was incredibly nice. Just really great.
And
just
she followed you on Twitter.
She followed me on Twitter.
You let me know that right away.
I got a lot. I got a lot of WWE followers this weekend, which is always nice. I've been having chats the last few days with David Otunga, with Titus O'Neil, and
love Titus.
I'm a big Otunga fan.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's great. He's hopefully gonna come by the Marvel offices. So hopefully I get to talk to him a little longer.
That's cool.
But yeah, that was just trying to get pictures. The big one we got Hogan to hold the Shield.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was on the front of the
mobile page
for a while. That was huge. Like, we had a great picture of Hulk Hogan, like, you know, posing with the Captain America Shield. That was pretty much, like, worth the price of the trip.
Did he have Rob Liefeld chest going on?
He could have been, man.
And now, I saw a picture, that, not to spoil your story, but you got to meet with Daniel Bryan, too.
I did.
Right? How was
he? That was the next day. What happened was, so Thursday we do that, and we didn't get back to our hotel till pretty late. And like I was saying, I really, one of the things I wanted to do over the weekend was meet up with people, but every time we'd get done with work, be right back to the hotel. And then we did something called Radio Row, which is they let us into the convention center where Access was hosted at 6 in the morning. It was us and, you know, a bunch of other radio stations and press sites and whatnot, and they would set us up with a little table. They would bring different talent by. You'd get 10, 15 minutes with them, do your interviews, do your photos. So, number one, it was my second day in a row getting up super early because I had a 6 a.m. flight the day before, and then I have a 6 a.m. press call, basically. So they brought people by. They brought we had a whole ton of people. The first guy they brought by was Big E, which was awesome because we had met him a year before and had talked to him since. Just a really cool guy.
Is he as cool as his Twitter account is?
He absolutely is. Like, that sense of humor is that's him. Like, he doesn't get to do it as much on camera because his personality is more the strong side of the type. But he's a funny dude. Like, just came up to me right away and gave me a big hug. And I'm like, ah, man, I love your hugs. And he's like, yeah, that's because my breasts are so big. And I'm like, that's awesome. He's just a funny dude. And we recorded a podcast with him. And just everyone was coming by. We're getting pictures of him with the toys. We're getting interviews. Got to see Natty again. She goes, oh, I followed you on Twitter. I go, I followed you on Twitter. And then we hugged. It was magic.
Did you get a picture of that? We can use that as the new Total Divas watching Total Divas. Okay, good.
Jen's just out. It's just me and Natalia up top.
You can just Photoshop Jen.
Photoshop Jen in?
Yeah, Photoshop a floating head of her.
I get a good picture with Natty. I got a lot. That's what Chad was giving me a heart. Chad Campbell, our dearly departed Chad Campbell, was giving me a hard time on Facebook for saying, like, oh, you know, you're spending half your weekend posting your big time photos. I was like, Chad, I haven't even posted any of the photos I've taken yet. I've posted like two photos. I have many more to come. So he'll be very frustrated.
You big timed him right back.
I big timed Chad.
Feels great, 20%. Doesn't it?
Oh, no. God. Yeah, he's the worst.
Now, Ben, did we run into our best friend in life and on Twitter, Renee Young?
That was the tragedy of the weekend, was I did not see Renee Young at all. And I tweeted midway through the weekend. I said, Renee Young, why are you avoiding me? And she tweeted back, I would never. What are you talking about? And I said, I haven't seen you all weekend. She goes, well, hopefully I'll see you tomorrow. And so it went every day. And Renee Young and I didn't see each other. So I messaged her afterwards. I was like, I'm glad I didn't see you. You did a great job, though. So
she did a good job.
Renee Young all weekend.
She did see Mark Claire, though. I saw his picture, so.
Well, thank God.
Thank goodness somebody.
Whatever. She lives in New York, so. Hopefully.
So you had a busy access schedule. Probably more work than any kind of inkling of fun. If you had any chance to walk around at all, I've been to one before. I went to 28.
Well, let me finish, Brad, answering your Daniel Bryan question first, because I didn't even get around to that. I was just trying to think of the other people we had. I'm trying not to go on forever.
No, you're fine.
But yeah, we had Roman Reigns by, we had Seth Rollins by, we had Cesaro by, who's awesome, huge comic book fan. Greg, you'd be happy to know.
That is awesome. I
mean, knows his stuff.
Maybe we can get him on our comic book podcast sometime.
Try, man. Well, because here's the thing, I gave him a hard time about that is we interviewed him the previous year at Access, and he gave kind of like some decent movie answers. And then after the camera stopped rolling, started talking about the Cosmic Cube. And I'm like, what? How do you know the Cosmic Cube? He's like, oh, yeah, I know all this, 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 this.
So he's a longtime fan.
Yeah. So we interview him this time, and I gave him a hard time on camera. I said, hey, after the camera stopped rolling last year, you spouted knowledge forever about the Cosmic Cube. You totally, like, didn't give us your best material. So then he went on a little in the interview this time about the Cosmic Cube and about, like, old Captain America comics. And then when we turned off the camera, I was like, oh, good. That was awesome, man. He goes, yeah, you know, I really got back into reading it with Brubaker's run. And again, like, just more great stuff we could have used that he did totally off camera. But he was hilarious. And, Yeah, but then the Daniel Bryan one was great, man. He's just a super nice guy, and just he took the shield we had and just started playing with it, and he was the first guy to realize that it actually shoots stuff. Hmm. So he like pulls it, like we have it all on camera. He pulls it open, starts shooting everyone around him, and just had a great interview. We got him to wear a Rocket Raccoon mask. could have been better. So yeah, man. Radio Row's great, and just super fun time. And folks at WWE were really good to us. And that's where we met Titus O'Neil as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that was like a who's who of and so you got to see Rollins and Reigns, both from the Shield. Cool guys.
Yeah, yeah. Reigns is really cool, laid back. Rollins actually was interesting because we did a quick interview with him, and then the person who was leading him around kind of like disappeared. So he ended up just hanging out with us for a while. We weren't shooting video.
His handler left him. That's a shame.
Basically, I didn't want to say handler because I felt like
that the kimchi to his Kamala. Yeah,
there you go.
But yeah, we got to just hang out with Seth Rollins for a little bit, and he was cool. He was a real cool guy too. And you know, we just thought my buddy had a lot of similar music tastes with him. Just talked about that, and I was talking to him about back when he was in Ring of Honor's Tyler Black, and all sorts of good stuff. There are no complaints, man. Everyone we met was super nice. I don't have any horror stories.
That's great. So then, so you got to slip in a little bit to WrestleCon. You got to see our good friend Graham Cawthon, who had a...
Yes, I did. That was cool. I was actually in WrestleCon. We had just ducked in to kind of say hello to some people. We'd gotten passes. We said hey to DDP, who had also come to the Marvel offices before, and given us DDP yoga DVDs. And this was Saturday, so it was the night of the Hall of Fame. So you're asking, you know, how are you doing? This is actually a little behind the scenes for people who go back and watch the Hall of Fame ceremony. Mm-hmm. We're like, are you ready? Are you nervous? He goes, oh, man, I'm so nervous. I don't know what to do tonight. He goes, listen, I'm going to tell you guys. Don't tell anybody else. He's like, I'm going to try to slip it out there so no one knows. This might have been super noticeable. I don't know. He goes, I'm going to have my iPad with me because I think I'm going to forget my speech a lot. So if you ever see me looking down, that's not me collecting myself. I'm literally looking at what I'm going to say next on my iPad.
Hmm. No, we didn't notice. I didn't notice anyway.
Go and watch it back and look at how many times he looks down at like the podium.
You talk about DDP?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. He had his iPad with him. I think he tried to sneak it out, but the big thing with DDP was he goes, all right, I'll see you guys tonight, and then he slapped me in the stomach.
Oh.
So wow. it was like a friendly like thing. He like backhanded me. I'm like, thanks. Awesome.
He's trying to test. He's trying to test and see if you need to get.
I know, he's trying to see if I'm using the yoga. But yeah, then I turned around. I saw Graham. I was super excited. I go, hey man, Ben Morse. And he didn't know who I was. And I was like,
what a big timer he is too. I'll talk. We'll talk to him about that.
I said Ben Morse, and he kind of looked at me quizzically. I go, we've both been on Place to Be, and he's kind of like, oh yeah, okay, yeah. But he was super nice. He was great. He was great. He showed me the next book that's coming out. And yeah, that was pretty much the extent of WrestleCon. Oh, and the other thing at WrestleCon was that we mainly gone there to see Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. And there was – we tried to go in and say, hi, there was a line for them to get autographs. And I tried to get in, and the guy taking the ticket, he goes, oh, do you have a ticket? And I go, oh, no, I'm just going to say hi to my friends. He goes, no, man, no. You know, you need a ticket. Got to get in. And I go, oh. Okay, so then I just start like waving, trying to get Daniel's attention, and he finally sees me and he waves me to come on in, and I say, I can't, this guy won't let me in. He goes, oh, okay, and he disappears, he goes behind a curtain, emerges from another curtain next to where Goldberg is signing,
right,
and just beckons me, he goes, here, just come through the curtain next to where Bill Goldberg is signing, and points his finger at Bill Goldberg. I'm like, okay. So I walked through the curtain, waved to Goldberg politely. He didn't acknowledge me. And then, I got to hang
even
out
after
with...
you told him you were from the Place to Be that only worked with Graham Cawthon?
He said, oh, are you Graham Cawthon? I said, no. He goes,
no. All you had to do, Ben, was say that...
You.
Ben, all you had to say is that you were a backup dancer for Mickey James's concert.
Oh, that was cool. That we saw that, too. What happened with him in a backup dancer for Mickey James's concert?
What's that?
Yeah, is this an insider story? We don't
know. Is it an insider story?
No, she really did have a concert at WrestleMania.
No, I know. I was there for that. I saw that.
Oh, okay. Was she very visibly pregnant?
No, I didn't look, Andrew. I'm a gentleman.
Damn.
didn't check to see if she
Who looks for that?
Hey, Mickey, let me see if you're pregnant.
Mickey, are you pregnant or just fat? No.
Well, here's the thing. She canceled at the Mid-South Fan Fest, supposedly, because she was pregnant. That was the one independent show down here that Greg wasn't able to go to, and that a lot of people didn't go to because it was in my neck of the woods in St. Right. Bernard Parish, which
I know the guy who organized it because I saw him the next day.
The guy at TCW?
Mike Weber, who used to work at TNA. He helped organize it. I don't know if he did the whole thing or anything, but
yeah, it was a TCW conjunction with the guy over there that you're talking about, and they did a lot of these Mid-South reunion shows, and that's down in Chalmette, but Chalmette is way past the Ninth Ward. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, so not a lot of people got to go. But Mickey James was supposed to wrestle Angelina Love, and the rumor going around was that she canceled because she was pregnant.
Yeah, she's got Magnus's kid in there.
Yeah.
But
I did not
investigate further, Andrew. I'm sorry. If you had texted me and told me, I still would not have done it.
Check the belly.
So, Ben, you were there for the concert. How did that go over with the WrestleCon group? I'm really curious.
They were really into it. Like, we walked in, and we had walked in earlier when we did the DDP thing. This was the second time we went by just to see Daniels and Kaz. And we just hear music. We're like, what is going on? And, like, basically they have an inside portion where all the wrestlers are. And then this, like, courtyard area where they had a wrestling ring set up before. But now it had been turned into a stage, and Mickey James was doing a concert. And the fans were, like, they were clapping, they were cheering, they were very supportive, which is cool, you know?
It
was a really – the fans at WrestleCon were actually really cool. I really enjoyed the fans at WrestleCon. There was really, like, a we support what you guys are doing atmosphere. Because, you know, that's – you know, access is one thing, but – these are the ones where they really come to kind of the smaller thing to, like, direct. And this is also the reason we didn't try to do any interviews at WrestleCon.
Right.
Is because we're like, you know, with WWE, if we interrupt a line, that's the WWE thing. If we interrupt a line here, it's like, you know, we're taking 5 minutes away from these guys who are trying to support their own bank statements. The only one we did was just for Scott. We did talk to Hacksaw.
Did you?
Oh, dude, it was Captain America opening weekend. I had to. No?
You have pictures and video of this?
I got video. I do have a picture. It's coming.
Okay.
So no 2x4 versus the Shield. Which wins?
What's that?
The 2x4 versus Cap Shield. I wonder what wins.
I don't know, man. The plastic shield that I had, I put my money on the 2x4.
I feel like I would like to see that drawn in, like, a couple pages or whatever. Hacksaw Jim Duggan fights Captain America. Wow, that's anything else that you saw from WrestleCon? I like that little quip about everybody there being really cool.
I was gonna say I really like the crowd. I mean, the contrast there is that, you know, Access is this huge, you know, very well produced, very well organized event. But there's definitely a lot of, you know, it's not that small kind of support community, which I'll segue into saying that there was a Legends House set up. Where I don't know if you got some pictures or not, but basically, you know, they had a couple chairs set up like a living room of a house. So at one point, and there was a middle empty chair that people could go up and get their picture taken. So the guy who was leading us around set it up so we could do a video. I could do a quick video interview with Roddy Piper and the Fink. So I sit in the chair, I do the interview, and about, you know, I tried to keep it short, but about 2 minutes in, the crowd who was waiting in line patiently, fully justified, starts quietly booing because obviously I am up here, you know, taking up the time that they paid for. Mm-hmm. And then after we finish the interview, I shake their hands. I just want to get off the stage as quick as possible. One of my friends who I was working with runs up on stage with his handheld camera and says, "Oh, can we just take a quick picture?" And I, in my head, I was like, why are you doing this? And so he takes, like, basically like a selfie with the four of us as this crowd just goes insane. And just like that, we were the biggest heels at Access.
Wow.
And then later, we saw another guy get on stage with Dolph Ziggler and do a video interview with him. And the crowd started booing. Then they started chanting, "No more press. No more press."
You cannot please those people.
No, you know what I said? You know what I said? I was like, I was talking to the PR guy, because one of the PR guys I mentioned, Joe Vila, mm-hmm. was up on stage kind of egging them on as they were chanting. And we just said, we're like, these are wrestling fans. They want to boo somebody. Like, this is part of the show. We're giving them the bad guy. Because at Access, everyone's a good guy, you know? Even the heels who are assigning you the good guys.
That's true.
They need villains, so it's us. It's the dicks who are cutting to the front of the line and doing video interviews.
Awesome.
Happy to do it.
Awesome. So let's, speaking of segues, let's move to the Hall of Fame. So you and Greg were there. Greg, let me ask you first. And really, what I want to, you know, we've all seen the speeches and whatnot. And I was at 28's Live, and the crowd was pretty well behaved for that. I've spoke a little bit before about when we did the 28 WrestleMania Rewind show and my experiences there. So, Ben, did you go last year?
I did.
You did. Okay, so you did a baseline, and Greg, I know you've been to a number of Manias, so I like to imagine you've been to Hall of Fames before.
Yes, okay. Yes. We went to 27, 28, and this year.
Okay. So I'll start with you, Greg. Compare and contrast for me. How were things in the crowd? Were they kind of unruly like last year, or was it, you know, generally pretty passable?
I would say they were on the unruly side. I don't know if there was anything as outright as like booing Trish's husband and like booing Maria Menounos during the entire speech or anything, but it was on par with the worst one that I've been to, which was 27, where Shawn Michaels couldn't even give his speech because a very vocal minority kept chanting "You screwed Brett" and things like that. This one was, I don't know if it was quite that bad, but it was. I thought it was really bad. Like, it was hard to hear Jake's speech because people were totally missing the point of his speech. When he would talk, anytime he would mention drugs or alcohol, random groups of people would cheer. And then there were like, when he was talking about going on the road and sacrificing being a father because he loved wrestling, everybody was like cheering, even after he was like, "No, it's not funny. You know, it's not. That's not what I'm getting at." It was basically people. There were those people that have the need to be heard at all times. There was this drunk redneck about four rows in front of us that kept shouting during the whole show, telling everybody to wrap their speech up and everything. And it was another. Other than 28, both of the other two Hall of Fames that I've been to have had what I would consider to be really unruly, annoying crowds. And it's not everybody. Actually, most of the people are well behaved. But it's that pocket of maybe 100 to 200 people that you can hear because of the silence in the arena that makes it really unfortunate for the people giving speeches.
Hmm. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, it was interesting what Greg said, a lot of that just right with it. And I was interested because when I got back to the room that night, and I was chatting with some of you guys all weekend with Andrew and Brad and some other guys on Facebook. And I think the first thing I asked you guys, I was like, "Oh, how did the Hall of Fame crowd come across on TV?" And you guys were all like, "Oh, they were great. They were so much better than last year." And I was like, "Really? Because they kind of sucked."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The big thing, the most interesting thing was the one Greg said with the Jake speech, was that people were just not getting it. Like every time he would just say I guess it was kind of part of his tone. It was a great speech, but every time he would say like, he's like, "And I should have been a better father, but I love wrestling." And every time he says, "I love wrestling," people are just like, "Yeah." And we're like, "No.
Yeah, you're a bad father."
Exactly.
Whoa.
We're like, "You're not getting it." But the bigger thing, and Greg, I don't know where you were seated, but you might have gotten on this too, is that they were having technical problems. And I don't know if they covered this on the network broadcast, but a couple of screens kept going out.
Yep.
A couple of big screens. Now, you could, no matter where you were sitting, you could see at least one big screen. But there was a couple screens that kept going out. And it happened during Lita's speech, and it happened a couple times early on. And when the screens went out, the crowd just, in the spots where they couldn't see the screen, just started going crazy. And they would chant. They were like chanting, like, "Turn on the screen, turn on the screen." And I don't know if you guys noticed, but like Lita got flustered a bunch of times during her speech, and I'm pretty sure that was why.
There were a lot of chants that you could hear.
Yeah,
she would be talking, like telling her story or whatever, and all of a sudden the crowd would start booing. And I'm sure she thought, okay, they don't like something I just said. But the reason the crowd would boo was because the back screen would go out, which at a certain point, like, get over it, okay? We had plenty of, like Ben said, there were like four screens in the top that were smaller that pretty much everybody could see, but they were upset because the big screen in the back wasn't working properly.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point it became really distracting to the people on screen, and to me it came across as really disrespectful and rude because it's their night. It's not, you know, it's not an actual wrestling event.
Yeah, exactly. So, I felt the same way. Greg put it perfectly.
Yeah. And then you end up feeling embarrassed because you're within the same group of it, and then you takes your enjoyment out of it, and you just feel like, ugh, it's the worst. So
definitely not as bad as the 29 one, because I was there too. I mean, that was just flat out embarrassing.
That was hard to watch. Honestly.
The one in the garden with Bruno.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know. I didn't watch it.
And it's all the stuff Greg was talking about. It was during the Maria Menounos Bob Backlund segment. It was just like, wow, I've never been more.
It was truly embarrassing just to watch on TV. Even it was really really rough.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, I did hear that they pulled the Hall of Fame off the network the other day, but it was not because of the Warriors' untimely and unfortunate passing. But they actually did a lot of cleanups with the bleeps for swearing and whatnot where they would just cut the whole thing out or whatever. And so it's back on there, so everybody can catch it now.
Yeah, they edited out some of the theme music, like Tutti Frutti is gone for Mean Gene, and the A-Team theme is gone for Mr. T. And unfortunately, to my chagrin, they edited out my favorite part of the Warriors speech, which was him blasting Jerry McDevitt for losing to the World Wildlife
Fund. Oh, God, that was hilarious.
That was the best part.
They cut that whole section out. So
I did notice one initiative with this one compared to the other ones, because I didn't see the one from last year, that they made this Hall of Fame more like a show. You know, you had Barrett, you had The Undertaker, you had El Torito. They kind of made it a little bit more of a sideshow and something for the fans to at least stay kind of entertained than just a straight-up black and white tie affair, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely the first time I did that. Now, I don't know how it came across on TV, but Barrett was like...
Barrett was over like
he was
Rover.
So over, and people just love... And he was loving it. You could tell he was having the time of his life.
I would argue that after Cesaro, Barrett was the biggest, like, this guy became a star over the entire WrestleMania week.
Probably,
phenomenal.
Yeah, because one of his diatribes about bad news is actually one of the best ones he had was the one where he was ramming all the Hall of Famers about costing the flea markets all their money for their measly autograph signings, which I thought, if he had said that at WrestleMania, I would have laughed my ass off.
That's funny. Any thoughts, Greg, on anything that stuck out to you in person, either the Warrior or Mr. T or anything like that else around the Hall of Fame that you guys want to share?
The Mr. T speech was one of the most surreal experiences of the weekend. After Kaiju, it's hard to use that word again.
It really is. Yeah.
But the Mr. T speech, like, it started out boring, and we're like, oh gosh, what's good? And then it became like the most awesome speech of all time. And then it kind of turned back around and became boring again. But it was certainly entertaining. That one stood out. And Jake's speech, even though we had trouble hearing some of it because of idiot screaming. The speech itself was tremendous, very emotional, man. Like there were some waterworks going on in our section.
Ben, how about you?
Yeah, the T speech. there was a moment, I forget what it was. Maybe Greg can refresh my memory. That he was like so stone faced for the first part, and then at some point he cracked a smile.
It was after the what section.
Yeah, it was after the what chance, and that made me feel so good. I was like, all right, he gets it. Like he knows he's kind of like. He knows he's kind of trolling us, and it's fine. I felt bad for him when they pulled him. I mean, they had to.
I felt bad too because like
they caned him off.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is there like a time limit for a network show? You know.
Well, let me say this, and this is why I didn't go to the Hall of Fame this year, because I was scared that I had a bad experience in Houston at the Toyota Center, because they played the Hall of Fame show live instead of doing it in an elongated form and then editing it the night later. So when they did it live, they were literally playing off every Hall of Famer, including Steve Austin, within about a 10-minute time frame with a clock. Yeah. And I just thought, that is so disrespectful. And the fans, and y'all said the same thing, that I can't stand the fans. They're so unruly. They're like zombies. They cheer and boo whatever they want, and you can't control them. And you can't hear a damn thing that the people on the podium are saying. So I said, I'm never, after that, after Houston, even if it was the best Hall of Fame ever, I said, I'm never going to Hall of Fame again because I'm scared it's going to be a waste of my money.
You know, it's funny you say that about the sound, actually, because that is one issue that there has been at all three of the Hall of Fame ceremonies I've been to. It's almost like they never mic the arena properly or set up the speakers properly, because it's always, even without people chanting, it's always a little difficult to hear what people are saying up in the – if you're up in, like, the top levels and stuff, like
if
I
you
was.
If you can mic up the noise in the ring when they hit the canvas, at least you can mic up these guys so that you can clearly hear what they're saying. You know, they don't have pain pills in their mouth.
Breach, if I am getting inducted into the Hall of Fame and I ask you to induct me, will you come to another Hall of Fame ceremony?
Yeah, as long as Coco Beware gets inducted again. This time the parrot gets inducted.
I like that he had to
think
about
it. Which is what I had to deal with.
I like Frankie.
Yeah.
I like that he had to think about it. That was good.
Yeah,
it was sad because I got to see Kevin Von Erich. I got to see Kevin Von Erich and Bill Watts get inducted, and Ricky Steamboat, who I idolized all those guys, and I couldn't hear anything they were saying. And I was like, this is a waste. And it was 15 minutes long for each of them. I was like, really, did I just waste, like, $60 on this?
I think they've gotten better production-wise since then, that's for sure. But all right, cool. Well, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will cover the main event, WrestleMania, and, of course, all the big things that happened there and being there live in person. And then we'll wrap up your guys' weekend.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
What's that? Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on PlaceToBeNation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it.
Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. With over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Hey there, Nation. This show's going pretty long, so what we're going to do here is break this into two parts for you. If you're on placetobenation.com, you can go ahead and click the link right in this very post. If you're listening on iTunes, part two will start right now.